Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show,
a podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Hello, friends.
Hello.
Today we're going to talk about the idea of, you know, training for fun or having the goal of fun, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Today, that's our main message. But before we get going, we have a lot to talk about because I'm sitting, we were setting up and I look over and Liz is doing this thing. And this is a physical therapist has eyes like a hawk. When someone starts rubbing something, you're like, God. Oh my God, something's wrong. So she had a little fingers on her front of her right shoulder. And I'm like, what? What is wrong with the shoulder? I don't even think you really realized you were doing that.
No.
And so I feel like I asked you, what is wrong? And you said,
I am doing some things with my strength routine that I got scolded.
She's like, I'm only using 2 pound weights. It's just tight.
Oh my God. I did all the things in that moment that yes. You hear an athlete say, and you're like, you're full of shit. And I know you're headed straight for an injury.
Right. And as my physical therapist brain is like, oh my God, she thinks it's tight. It's not even tight. Hurting. And, you know, many patients will come in, and I know your athletes do the same thing too, which is, you know, they confuse tightness with a little place starting. A little irritation. Irritation doesn't necessarily.
But this is the thing. Okay. So this is the thing. I have so many of those things. It is like whack-a-mole all the time. And I know that I do not handle them right. I'm coming clean. I do this podcast and I am like a flaming dumpster fire. I totally.
Well,
I'm a massage therapist. So I poke on myself all the time. I'm like, let's see if I can. That is not advisable. I understand that.
So I immediately went into, I know what the mechanics, because even if you're using a 2 pound weight, even if you're using no weight, if the mechanics aren't there, and I'm like, I know, you know, Liz kind of sits with her.
Oh my.
Like, you're not, I'm not pointing out.
No,
like,
it's fine.
Oh my God, it's
fine.
Like everybody, right? Like sitting kind of with that rounded shoulder, and that just means the top of that. That shoulder bone is sitting a little bit more forward, and then that just sets you up for impingement. And you can think you're doing it really great. I'm a physical therapist. I teach classes, and every now and again, I'll look in the mirror and I'll be like, "What the hell? I thought I had my positioning correct, and I didn't."
I know.
And I'll catch myself in the mirror and I'll be like, "Oh my God!" You know. So no one's infallible. But I was like, "All right, we're just going to give you a little reminder today."
But this, you know, so this is so interesting because athletes are always asking about strength work. And that's like one of my real bugaboos because it's so important and I could say a million things about it.
Yeah.
But one of the things that is such a challenge is that you can do it wrong so easily and we hurt ourselves. And I mean, I speak from experience on that. Like I have done, repeatedly, you know, and it's like, well, I am doing all the things I think where I'm doing right. But you know, it's just so.
It's so important to have our athletes doing strength training, but it's scary as hell because if you're not there watching them or, you know, and they'll be like, well, what videos? And then they'll be like, Google video. And you're like, oh my God, no, that's the worst video you could have picked. It's not right.
And it may not be, or the video might be right, but for their body position and their mechanics.
Exactly.
And that's where I get myself into trouble. So I'm aware. I'm like, sitting, I feel like I totally like, I don't know, threw myself under the bus. I should never sit down in front of Amy and like start poking at my shoulder.
I think
what's going to happen?
The thing is, it was subconscious.
I know.
I truly know it was subconscious. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So I want to, last time we met, you brought me this book. It's written by the father of one of your patients.
Yes.
Correct. It's called Warnings, The True Story of How Science Tamed the Weather, and by Mike Smith. Okay. So you gave that book to me, and I was already reading like 3 different books because that's how I do, right? All of those books took a backseat while I read this. And I read this in like the weekend, cover to cover. I loved the book. It was, it had that mix of science along with some fantastic historical stories of storms and like how it all the science has changed. Okay. So I have to go back and tell you this because my first fascination with weather was as a kindergartner.
Oh my God.
I'm not kidding. we moved into this house in Overland Park, Kansas. We lived here for only a couple of years before we moved away. And now, you know, now I'm back after all that time. But when we moved into that house, my mom said something to me. She said, in the ground, the man who owned this house before, he told us that in the ground, there are toys buried here. Oh, and like geez. He would dig, you know, anytime he would dig in the garden, he would find these toys. And it was from a tornado that went through there. And I'm imagining like the little Fisher Price people.
I know.
Little Fisher Price people are dug. That's what my little brain is thinking. A tornado pushed the little Price
people. Well, you know, my mom was in a really, really bad tornado that leveled the whole. She was, it was in Topeka. I can't remember the year. I wasn't born yet, but my older sister was there. And she came out of the shower and she looked down the street and she could see it coming. And she grabbed my older sister and they like made it to the basement right as the tornado took like her entire building. She found her car wrapped around a tree like miles
away.
Well,
you find out, dig in, find out the date. Okay. Because this book, this gentleman, obviously he was from here. He was a meteorologist in Wichita for a while and St. Louis for a while. So many of the storms, of course they happen in the Midwest anyways, but he references these tornadoes. Okay. So these local ones as well. And so I'm reading, and my Catherine Carpenter was the little school that I went to for kindergarten.
Oh my gosh.
To note, my husband didn't meet him at the time, but he was in the adjoining kindergarten room.
That's bananas.
But he talks about this tornado that actually is the thing that put those toys in the ground. The same tornado.
That is so
it was
weird.
Before, you know, before I was born, it was like in the 60s at some point. And he talks about how, with a little bit of warning, the teachers at Catherine Carpenter got the children into a safe spot. And, you know, the tornado didn't actually hit sideswiped it and just missed the school, but it did hit the neighborhood. Anyway, I'm reading this book and it was just fascinating. I loved it. And then I was like, okay, more weather books. So I went to the store.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I got another book called The Secret World of Weather, How to Read Signs in Every Cloud, Breeze, Hill, Street, Plant, Animal, and Dewdrop by Tristan Gooley. Okay, so now it's like the other side. It's like how to do it without the science. Like, not the science, but like how to read.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I learned to read the clouds, and I actually predicted the weather the other day.
Oh my
so
God.
We were driving home from the airport, and I had not watched the news because we were in Cancun. I did not watch the news for a week, so I didn't have any meteorologist reports.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was just looking out the Uber and looking out the window, and I was like, okay, I'm reading the clouds, and I'm like, David, I predict that we are going to have rain in the next 24 hours. And he looked it up on the phone. He was like, you're right. And what did it do yesterday?
I mean, that's
good. Thank you! I mean, how fun is that?
Oh, my gosh, that's
okay, so I'm going to retire in a couple years.
That's really fun.
It was super fun.
Oh, my gosh. And This author also wrote a book called The Lost Art of Reading Nature's Signs. And it's a New York Times bestseller. I bet it's great.
Yes.
Well, look at you bringing in new things to us and the listeners.
Yeah. I know you're all going to go out and run out and buy these two books, but I
just don't know if that's going to happen.
How does this transition into what we're talking about?
I have no idea.
It does not. Except that for fun, I'm reading about weather. And for fun, some people choose the goal to do a particular event. Say it's a gravel race, for example, or here locally we have Rock the Parkway race coming up in April. And that is, I believe, 5K, 10K, half. I think there's a 10K
I think they've gotten rid of the 10K.
Okay, so just 5K, half. Well, anyways, let's just say, for example, I mean, there's a lot of athletes there. I'm just going to do it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
What do we run across when people say, I just want to do this for fun?
Oh, it's just that's a loaded question.
Mm-hmm.
Because that word is really loaded, in my opinion.
Yes. Give us your psychoanalysis.
Well, I think there's different scenarios where we use that for fun. Use the word for fun, mm-hmm. right? And so I think there are some. But I think that if you're really going to do it for fun, it takes a lot of work to actually do it for fun, as much as it does if you're going to do it seriously. But I think because we use the word fun and it seems like it should be this whimsical, great experience, that there's no work behind actually making sure that you're mentally committed to doing to. Letting a lot of stuff go that allows you to do it for fun.
Yeah.
And you're not using it as like a way to cover up like anxieties about, you know, maybe you've set the wrong goal. And so instead of, you realize your goal isn't realistic. And so instead of dealing with that, you're just going to say it's for fun. And then, like, you're really an anxious mess and it's not actually for fun, but you are, you know.
Yeah. And we've talked about that before. Yeah. I think it was our goal setting podcast, maybe. I can't remember. But so here's an example of an athlete who truly was choosing, you know, we were training for one thing, mm-hmm. or just, you know, training for one thing, but then I'm going to throw in this, let's just say it's a gravel ride. Let's just pick it. And, but I just want to do it for fun. And I know this athlete very well. And I knew that was maybe language in her mind for, I don't really need to train for this. But like, don't upset my schedule or something like this. And, you know, I don't think I was reading that wrong. Cause then I was like, oh, I'm going to nip this in the bud right away. Is that you are going to see, if you're going to choose this very long distance, which is not, you know, normal for you or not a normal sport for you, a regular thing that you're doing, we can't, just because it's for fun doesn't mean we shouldn't train for it because.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because you're right. Like, I just want to do it for fun is often very coded language for don't mess up my schedule because I'm training really hard for this other thing. And it totally bypasses, like, the, you know, the recovery that is required or, like, the, you know, whatever. Because sometimes those races, they go and, like, there's travel required and there's expense required and there's arranging your life that's required. And it does, it, you know, that is a stress even if it's for fun, and it does require some, like, disruption and then recovery. And you're so right. That's coded for, like, we're just going to ignore all of the other, like, ripples that come from doing this
for fun. maybe, you know, you and I put the work in because, you know, we're not going to just jump on the bike and ride 50 miles and on that day and not have ridden. And then, because that will cause injury.
Yeah.
We know that will happen and disrupt what we're actually training for if we are training for something else. And even if we aren't training for something else, it still can cause injury because So we still need to progressively add that particular training towards that particular event. Now, there might not be a lot of, like, fine tuning and like high efforts and stuff, but there's still some work that has to be done if you're choosing to do something.
Well, and what I kind of think about when somebody's like, you know, do it for fun, and you, I instead of looking like, are we looking at like performance based like analysis of how we build? It's more like, how can we do this, like, without causing harm? Like, do no harm.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so how do you, you know, how do we make sure that...
Yeah, there's, like, a bare minimum that needs to be done, but the athlete doesn't think about that when they choose to do that thing for fun.
Yeah.
And I'm putting quotes around it. But it truly, you know, truly the goal is for fun. It's not masking some anxiety or anything else. But,
so, even if it really is for fun, you still have to, like, do no harm. You know, you can't you can't go do a fun race, like, a week before your Ironman because there's, you know, so you have to, like, okay, you can, so you're looking at, you know, places. There's
you have to weave it in appropriately.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that brings me to, like, I still have gravel riding on my list of things to try. And I'm rewording that, right? I want to try it.
Yeah.
You know, so... they're out there like, oh, which, have you signed up for this thing yet? Have you signed up for it yet? This race is coming up. Amy, did you sign up yet? And it's like, no, might be good if I just go try the sport first, borrow a bike or, you know, rent a bike and go try it out.
I think that's great.
And just see.
Yeah.
Just go for a fun ride.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, try it out.
Yeah.
So.
That's.
Okay. I have a stranger thing.
What?
Did we say everything we wanted to say about fun, about goals and fun?
I mean, I think so. I feel like that's been a journey for me coming off of, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. Like, I just feel like I really was pretty dialed in as an athlete for a really long time. I didn't really, and it's not that that wasn't fun, but it's, you know, it's a job. And it's been, I'm still finding it a bit of a, I don't know if struggle is the right word, but it's a really different space to function in because I'm not as, you know, I'm not as dialed in, and I don't, like, my workload is, my training load is less, and, like, the reason I'm doing workout, it's a strange place to be thinking about going to do a race that may be hard and may push me, but I'm not thinking about, like, you know, placing in my age group or trying to, you know, win anything, and And that's, and I'm totally at peace with that, which I'm super thankful for. But it's weird to go and like do races, and I'm trying to develop like, what does a fun space look and feel like for me? And like, how much preparation do I need? And like, I can still tell I have a little bit of work to let some of that other stuff go, because I'm not as fit as I have been for, right. I mean, really for, you know, many, many years. And to be in like super good Ironman shape, like you're just super fit. And that time has passed for me. So it's just... It's
okay, so I put on swimming suits.
Oh, it's Levi. He thinks we can do this.
He's excited. He's going for a walk. I put on these same swimming suits that I had for like when I was doing a bit more training, right? And I put it on and they fit. I didn't try them on before I left. I was like, oh, these are my swimsuits.
Because you just took a beach vacation.
I just took a beach vacation. I got to the beach, or I got to my vacation destination and put on the swimsuits, and they still fit, but I was like, this looks different.
Yeah. Right?
like chiseled quads and glutes, yeah. Like I had before. There's a little bit more roundness. Yeah.
And there's, you know, I think there's a lot of, and that's, you know, I think, and that's a really serious topic, and I think for another podcast, but I think there's a lot of that, like with, you know, how you look and how you feel and how that changes, and kind of doing a lot of work around letting that go, you know?
Yeah. And like being like, okay. I'm truly at peace with it, because to have that particular shape or look, I didn't do the training for that, to achieve that, right? It was just a like, oh, that's a benefit, I guess, in that you look real fit. But that is a lot of work that went into that.
That is.
And I don't have any problems with it. I was like, oh, this is, I'm softer. That's
what it is. But I think that's really, like, really important, because I mean, I think that, you know, for me as an endurance athlete, I really used, like, that as coping for a lot. I think there's been a lot of stuff that I've had to work through to kind of get to the point where I can be like, I can let some of that go. And that's, you know, I mean, that's clearly like a whole other podcast, but there's a lot. And I think that is a huge issue for a lot of people, regardless of whether you're in endurance sports or not, but like kind of being like, okay, you know, I'm not going to be the same as I was when I was in top Ironman shape, and and that's okay. But these are the things I have to work around, and it's going to look different and it's going to feel different. And that can be, I mean, there's a reason that, I mean, that's a whole.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast. I get what you're saying.
Well, it's a whole field of work. Therapists deal with that, right? But I think that's a really important point, because that can interrupt what you think is fun, right? Like you're working through that.
100%. So, okay. Anyway. Oh, you have something else
to say? No, I do not.
Okay. All right. Blah, 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 blah. So I have a stranger thing. I have this group this Saturday, you know, the Roadrunners of Kansas City. It's a running club. Mm-hmm. Here in Kansas City. And we meet on Saturday mornings, like, forever. But when I first took charge of this group, you know, we had, and we still do, have a range of participants. You know, we have some people that are mostly walking, some walk-run or wogging, and then we have, you know, some people that are training at a pretty high level. And at the time, we had these... Oh my gosh, we had these guys, you know, this quintessential, you know, this like 3-hour marathon guy, right? Like super skinny, like they got this build, you know what that look about them. Well, anyway, I show up at the run and no one's there yet. And there's somebody in a car in the parking lot where we're meeting. And it's kind of the cabin of the car is like full of clouds, smoke. It's smoke. And I'm like, oh, clearly this person isn't here to run. He's smoking in there. Right. And we're standing around, more and more people start showing up for the run. And this car door opens and out comes this extremely fit distance athlete. He was sitting there smoking in that car before the run.
It's amazing.
I mean, I've heard of like nicotine enhancements, right? For your.
Is that why he was doing that? That is a thing.
Well, I don't know. He didn't look like an unhealthy smoker. He's extremely, you know, fast runner. I did not ask him. I thought it was the most bizarre thing. I've never seen anything like that. Since then, I've heard that nicotine can be a performance enhancer. Nobody, please don't go out and do that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There's different ways to get nicotine.
There's different way to get it, right?
So, like, a good podcast on that.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So, but inhaling that and putting that into your lungs, like, oh my God,
that's
like,
so that's interesting. Horrible. That's so interesting.
But anyway, Stranger Things.
Oh my gosh. But you know, when I've had athletes that have come from, you know, backgrounds where they're trying to make a life change and, like, you know, they're heavy drinkers and they're smokers and that kind of stuff and, like, trying to get started with that. And it's, you know, I mean, it's so interesting because you see that and it's like, you know, you can still do it if that's, like, there can be a both and, right?
Right,
so
like a transition.
Yes, a transition. But that is
clearly
so
somebody who was very fit. And, you know, like, that was the bizarre, with the little tiny shorts. You know what I'm talking about?
I can't believe you didn't ask him. I feel like that merits a conversation. That's like an elephant in the room.
I wish I could go
like
back.
He's barreling out, the smoke is coming out. Everybody's like, this is normal. Like, that is that is like not normal.
I was like, this guy's here to run with us.
That's an address. Let's address. Yeah.
I wish I could go back and ask.
Well, what's is he not a member of
No. He was like a one time. He was friends of other people that kind of were running with us at the time.
That
and these people
wild.
Don't still run with us. So I can't go back and ask. I think when I am faced with a situation, like a jaw dropping moment, like I can't, like my brain couldn't process enough to ask the question.
Well, and you know, so maybe shocked. That I feel like if you, cause you don't want to, you know, you don't want to judge, like it's their own thing.
Right.
But
and
I
don't know the person.
Nicotine,
and
like you could, like there's nicotine gum. Like there's many ways.
Other ways to get that. Okay. Stranger Things.
Well, no. And it was cigarettes. It wasn't like weed. He wasn't weeding out before the run. Maybe
no,
he.
No, that has a distinct smell.
Well, yes, I
this
know.
This did not have that smell.
Yes, ma'am. I'm familiar. Okay. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember,
we are in this together. Until next time.